I'm a Gemini. And I notice Pauline Hanson's back in the game.
Yeah, good on her.
You got that quote there? Drag that out. I see the name of her party is the Australia United Party. Or pardon me, the United Australia Party.
And what have we united around?
I'm not sure. It's just racism, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Normal gear.
Everyone can get behind that.
It's a very odd name, the United Australia Party, given that its policies will presumably be the exact opposite.
That's the idea.
Okay, so that's like saying, well, going to call the party the not wearing hats party.
Mm-hmm.
What's your policy? Oh, we're all going to have hats on. But you've called it the not wearing hats party.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I am an idiot.
And I've already had the t-shirts printed, so away we go. And the hats printed. Oh, wait a second.
There's nothing to do with that money you get when you set up a political party, is
it? Of course not. No, not at all.
What do you mean? How much do I get? Some sort of denial there?
Despite not winning a Senate seat, she had enough votes, more than 4%, to earn nearly $200,000. And that's why she's doing it again. I'm sick and tired of having this drawn up to me. Go and ask the political parties. I'm not answering that question anymore. I've had enough of it.
Go and ask the political parties what? If they're doing the same thing, presumably.
Yeah, right. Go and ask Grey Power. Those old people swimming in cash.
So that's what the Liberal Party are up to. They've constructed this enormous edifice that's been going for hundreds of years, presumably,
just to get the 200K.
You're like, we've got to keep this virago going.
Try and buy a Tuscan villa in Brisbane.
I think that's the full change. Right, look, enough politics. I want to talk about antiques. We haven't talked. You know, Triple M, right, doesn't do enough antique valuing segments, I find. There's a lot of complaints about that. Go to the website.
Right.
Nothing but complaints about that very topic. Mm-hmm. How can we rectify it, Ed?
Sadly, Richard and I have come up with a sketch. Okay, don't back out on it. You do this every time. You're in this. Well, you're in for the goose. You're in for the gander.
We got this script about 15 seconds ago. I'm just piecing it together on the run.
We've had a lime change.
Yeah.
We've had a late lime change.
Okay. Yeah.
So, we all watch the Antiques Roadshow.
Well, we do, yes.
And we all love it.
Mm.
However, okay, imagine we were in a time tunnel.
Yes.
And we can now go forward to the year 2210.
Hang on, so we're travelling into the future.
We're now in the future.
Are we?
Yeah.
This is the future now?
No. Oh, yeah. Now we're in the future.
Oh, look, hoverboard.
It's the year 2210. Yep. We've all had Botox. We all look fantastic. Huge racks.
Prime Minister Pauline Hanson's kicking out.
Absolutely right. And now we join the Antiques Roadshow of 2210. I used to smoke coal down at the train station, and one of my friends didn't have any money, so he gave me this.
Yes, I thought I recognised you. You still do?
No, I'm afraid not. I'm in real estate now.
Oh, you poor thing. Still, what do you think of this?
Well, see, I'm not really sure. I'm out of lane.
Is that how you've been using it?
Yes.
Right, well, I'm going to wash my hands and get a mask.
So it's not them? It's not one of those?
No, it's a phone. Around the late 1990s, and if you look here, it's slides. See?
Sorry?
Yeah,
slide it again, see? If we can hear it.
Slide. Like
that. That is clever.
Yes. It was quite a revolution when it came out.
I see.
But what do you think it's worth?
I don't know. £1 million?
No, it's worth slightly less than that. It's worth nothing.
Oh.
It's completely worth it. And just for wasting my time, I'm going to smash it over your head. Too late.
Oh, no lives
bringing in their trash.
Oh,
back.
What a nightmarish vision.
Wow.
What was going on there?
It's a bloke. He had a phone.
I'm still back on the bloke who's smoking pole. Down the railway station.
Interesting how he got it.
Wow.
That's how he got it.
Mm. And when you went to wash your head, apparently you were doing it.
In a milkshake!
Over a urinal.
In a milkshake, Rich. And what was that smash?
It was a... Well, I was searching it.
It was like a boing. It was a boing and a smash.
All right. Not since Orlando Bloom or dot, dot, dot. The most confusing segment ever. Thinking that won't be on the podcast. Oh, yes, it will.
Oh, man.
There's a petition already for that one to be presented.
Yeah, it's commitment, Rich. I need more commitment from you.
Well, I was absolutely there. The listeners, they're the ones who can save this program. Whenever the listeners get on the blow or get a great job, the time, we get some great suggestions.
Always.
Next on Get This. The models here at Triple M, out of mind, out of sight, never out of mind or out of sight, is the Nissan Navara with its huge pulling power. Maybe you can pull them back together. The sketch comedy team of Cavalli and Marsland.
We have before us a relationship which is now in tatters.
Oh, come on, Lewis. Got to keep the goal coming.
We'll get back together.
You should get your own view going. Me and Mick style.
Oh, that's a good
that's all we need. More fans on this show.
Yeah, Marsland. Stop stealing my hairstyle.
Yeah. Lucky Hume could come in and declare war on everybody.
Yes.
This might get us some sizzle. We need some. I know you've been trying to get us some sizzle. You've been out and about
rubbing shoulders.
Yeah, what have you done, Rich?
Robert De Niro's in the country.
I know.
He's coming to Australia and opening a couple of his restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
He's a famous restaurateur over in the US.
That's right, yeah.
I think also he's opened a couple in the European continent.
In the Seychelles.
Yep, he's opened them all over.
Micronesia.
And I went to the opening last night. It was great fun. Tuesday, Robert De Niro. When it comes to his own restaurant, he really gets hands-on.
Look how many blueberries your muffin has and how many mine has. Yours is falling apart. I have nothing talking about. It's like everything else in this place. You don't do it yourself, it never gets done. From now on, I want you to put an equal amount of blueberries in each muffin. I don't care how long it takes. Put an equal amount in each muffin.
Right, he's all about the muffins. And it's nice to Lee Dawson drop in and play working in a coal mine. In the background.
Beautiful word.
You didn't say that.
Out and about. While, you know, while you're doing that, what are we doing? Well,
watching Batman.
Cavalli's been... He's just discovered Batman with Adam West on the Foxtel, if you can imagine.
He's got the Foxtel. It's on Fox Classics every morning at 6 and then 8 a.m. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if people have jobs,
right.
But I would either quit or come in later. Because the Clock King today, Tone.
The Clock King.
Is that the character you played in that sketch before the song? No, sorry, that was something else.
I was going to say something else entirely. What does the Clock King do? That's one that they've just made up for the TV show, isn't it?
Yeah. Eyebrows.
Yeah.
Into clocks.
Mm.
That's pretty much it.
Does he wind his face back an hour for daylight
saving? No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. But he's got, you know, his henchmen are called Minute Hand and all that kind of stuff.
Right, right, right.
He trapped Batman and Robin in an hourglass, filling with sand.
Of course.
Out of reach of their utility belt. And the great bit today, where the sand is coming on the top of their heads, and heaps of sand is getting into the little eye holes of Batman's of costume, but he couldn't look like he was a wuss, so he had to pretend it wasn't happening. Brilliant. Heaps of them went into Robin's mouth and go, holy
sand, Batman!
So how'd those go from the hourglass? Well, he's like, oh, it's too tight. We can't use our puny arm to break glass.
What a surprise. Yeah.
So they had to push it over, and then a truck hit it. They pushed it over. It rolled onto a main road.
Wow, where was it?
It was in a back lot of a studio, to be honest.
How did it get out to the street?
Because when they knocked it over, it rolled through the doors, the locked doors, and then turned itself around somehow, so it was coming straight onto a truck. The truck hit it, and all it did was just shatter the glass enough for Batman and Robin to get out, and no injury. Perfectly fine. Perfectly fine.
Not a scratch on him. And Commissioner Gordon, I believe they were talking about a helicopter, and he had the most interesting pronunciation of the word helicopter.
Did he?
Have you ever heard it pronounced helicopter?
No.
Well, there we go, Commissioner Gordon, another first.
The man's insane. We love Commissioner Gordon. I saw the cartoon version the other day, Super Friends was on.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that from the 70s?
Yeah, sure.
And they sort of team up well-known superheroes with ones they'd made up just for the TV show.
To get a sort of more of a racial mix happening.
Mm-hmm.
So Superman had teamed up with the Black Vulcan.
Ah, there you go.
And then they had to deal with the lava men. So you've got giant lava monsters down the street spewing lava everywhere, inundating people with volcanic lava.
Mm.
Superman sorts it out in about 2.5 seconds.
Thanks very much.
I'll just blow my freezing breath on them, and then I'll just shatter them with my heat vision. Sorted. Cartoon over. Then they cut to the next cartoon, and it's Batman and Robin teaming up with the samurai. I don't know who he was.
Yeah, yeah.
Off they go to China because, by coincidence, a volcano is erupting.
Okay.
And you're going, this is where you need Superman.
Yeah.
He'd be really handy.
He's so helpful.
But we've just got Batman in a plane. A normal person in a plane. How does he sort it out?
A bloke with a sword.
Throws an anchor out of the... Serious. Throws an anchor out the back of the plane.
Mm-hmm.
On a rope, the anchor hooks onto some rocks. All the rocks fall into the top of the volcano and stop all the lava.
Oh, that's what it is.
Oh, wow. With an anchor out the back of a plane. No superpowers required.
And what was this Samuro doing? Making drinks?
He was just standing in the background looking...
Bourbon tea?
Appropriate. I don't know. I just feel very sorry for the superheroes who have to be carried off to the other side of the world by the ones who can fly.
So wussy.
I tell you who would be a great supervillain on Batman, and that's the Duct Tape Bandit. We'll see him on the news. This is a bloke in Kentucky who's decided to rob a liquor store by just winding duct tape round and round and round his face,
really?
Leaving just eye holes and mouth holes.
Okay.
He's gone in. He's been laughed at by everyone in the store.
Oh.
He's been tackled by people still laughing. They've taken off the duct tape. His face is just a mass of rashes. He's been photographed. Everyone's had a good laugh.
Yeah, yeah.
You think that'd be the end of the story?
Pretty much open his duct case, this one.
Next day, the guy appears on the news to deny that he was the duct tape bandit. So he's put about 3 inches of pancake makeup on his face to cover the injuries. And then he's doing some kind of rapping to camera move.
Oh, that gangster.
Have a listen to this.
I look like a duct tape bandit, baby. I'm not no duct tape bandit, you hear me? Live 101, passing the tuck, you know this is not me. Now look, do the math, do the homework, man.
Yeah, see, I've done both the math and the homework. And you're the same bloke! This is in the photo, they just showed. Why would you deny it?
On what grounds is he denying it?
Yes, I was in a liquor store. Yes, I had my face covered in duct tape. Yes, I was trying to steal bottles of whiskey. But that don't make me no duct tape bandit. Mm-mm. You don't know me. Mm-mm.
Math and homework are both required, clearly. We have got so much to get to on today's show. Lucky Hume is going to be here.
Arrival
in the next hour. Just leaving a gap for Adelaide to cut that out.
Okay.
And now a gap for them to cut that bit out. Oh, it's getting very confusing. Here's what we're going to do. My mum wouldn't buy it, so instead, she got me this.
Right.
Sounds contrived.
Mm.
It won't be next.
A lot of very interesting things were said.
Everybody, you're listening to Get This on Triple M, Brisbane, Adelaide, Melbourne, Sydney, and the podcast. Yes, they keep on coming up there today. It's podcast 1-1. Thrown together on the run, you get this, but not podcast number 6. Oh, it's
young. What do you got?
Just starting around for 40 minutes, just like
we're here.
Absolute nonsense. Techno Fear, the first song ever recorded.
Yeah.
Yes, that's in there. Edge Romance Tips. Honestly, makes a point. That was a very blue call. That's on there. Minimal job action. New drunk in New Zealand. It's a snack break. And, of course, full details on African Love Tours. It's all free in these times of rising interest rates.
TripleM.com.au.
Expensive water.
All right, Coons.
Outrageous prices for DVD box sets of The Wire. I mean, I know people are feeling it out there. Have some free fun. Download to Get This podcast 116.
Now, when I was doing some acting there, I was pretending not to know what was in it.
Because you guys had a preview.
Yeah. Last night, Richard and I listened to it while we were driving in a car together.
That's
movie premiere.
That's a big guy.
Just laughing along to ourselves.
Really? Yeah, your own material. That's always a good look, isn't it?
That's a really good look.
I've got hilarious to that bit.
Put the windows down, Rich. Turn it up.
Well, I know what you were doing. I know what you were up to. You guys do a bit of karaoke. Is that where you were heading?
You know, this song I'm about to play for you guys got me banned and some friends of mine banned from a karaoke bar.
Really?
For not taking it seriously.
No more cavalogy. No more.
Right, that's it. Play some piano.
Okay, you want to do that? Here at Get This Around the Nation on Triple M. Yes, Get This.
It's lavender, you bitches!
It is not, Kyle. There is nothing.
Oh,
about this program. Let's
prove it by climbing a mountain. What a view. What a view from up this Chalkbank Mountain today.
Pretty up here, Tony.
What's our topic?
Yeah, come on.
One of you. It's about toys because of the Mattel toy recall.
Recall. The lead paint is out.
That's why parents are being forced to hunt through their children's toy boxes once again. Another toy recall.
The
industry overhaul is being called for. Mattel yesterday announced a voluntary recall of more than 21 million Chinese-made products worldwide, including 500,000 in Australia. Some of the problems with the toy... there's magnets inside, some small powerful magnets that could be swallowed, and also high levels of lead in its surface paint.
Yeah.
I was writing a joke on this.
Yeah.
My pencil broke.
You need a Mattel toy.
Okay. You need a Mattel toy. Why can't you get one when you need one? It's the most annoying thing.
Now, this is all fine and well and good, but this leads to our topic. This wouldn't have happened at my house because I just wouldn't have had any of the toys that we needed.
No, because, let me guess, your mum would have gone, I need a shop-bought one.
Yeah.
I can construct, sew, or knit something of equal value.
What's not fun about a stick? So the topic today is my mum wouldn't buy it for me. So I got this instead, or I had to make do with this. Now, I'm going to start off, if I might.
Mm.
All I wanted out of life when I was a kid was a fort, somewhere to go.
Oh.
You know, the cardboard box in the backyard used to get rained on and washed
away. Sure, it just implode.
Absolutely right. And I wanted like a hideaway. And my mum said, no worries, because I knew a bloke that I knew, he had like a little secret passage in his house.
Oh, a secret passage?
Yeah.
Candlestick down, bookshelf open?
Well, no, Tone, just a door. But he could have put a candlestick up there if he wanted to. Instead, my mum said, why don't you just crawl around underneath the house?
Just as good.
So that's what I used to do. And then once I started doing that, she used to yell, like from underneath the house,
while you're down there, if there's anything big that needs to come out, you can drag it out for some fun. And while you're there, mind that asbestos.
Yeah, that'll get you.
I tell you what. I mean, we've all had a bit of this. I've mentioned it before. Batman costume. Why can't I have a Batman costume, Mum?
Grandmother overhearing this, I can just knit you one.
You're just as good.
And as I say, you've got to mention an all-over grey tea cosy.
Now, the Batman's costume is meant to strike fear into the heart of supervillains. Hard to do that when the cowl has a pom-pom on the top. A jaunty scarf, no substitute for a utility belt.
I think you're fine.
Pyro sewn into it, eh? What am I meant to do with these?
I just want to punch you.
Watch out, Riddler, or I'll write a really angry letter to the newspaper.
Snap, my mum made me a Batman costume as well.
Really?
How good was it? Yeah, it was probably a little better than that, though. There was leotard involvement.
Yeah.
Great. Go boots.
And it didn't matter how big you made the bets on the utility belt. You still couldn't fit everything the Batman got in there.
Oh, no. The Bat Magnet. The Batarang.
The shield.
The shield.
The enormous perspex shield that unfolded from his flimsy cape.
That's right.
Remember that in the cartoon.
That's just in a pocket down the back there.
Like real life. Okay, they're shooting at me. Right, construct the shield quickly. The bullets, they're almost here. Quickly.
How nice to construct that shield.
Yeah.
The shark repellent spray was real, though, wasn't it?
That was real.
Yeah, that was real.
Yeah,
the shark was fake, but the repellent spray real.
All right, so this is the territory we're in.
Give us a call.
Yep.
You wanted it. Your mum wouldn't get it for you, so she either made you a substitute or you were forced to make do with... ...
1-333-53. Around the nation on Triple M. It certainly is. Powderfinger, I don't remember. Just reminding you, particularly our Queensland listeners, get this, is right behind the Warwick Kappa for Mayor of the Gold Coast campaign. Has that actually been, you know, I know we talk about it and we've read about it in the press, but has the paperwork been done? Has Warwick across all of the, you know, rules and regulations, do you think?
I think you made the point. That took a little bit of time.
Sure.
Out of his mayoral campaign, following the electorate, as it were. And now he's back on board with that. But we're also behind in Brisbane C&B work on our own billboard.
Yeah, the station are very happy about that. Although it technically is promotion. I should just say, this is Chalkbank Mountain you're in the middle of right now. People are suggesting Warwick Kappa's
mid-80s pop song, I Only Take What's Mine.
Oh, yes.
To be a Talkback Mountain thing. Now, we don't have that. Would that be accessible on the internet?
Try you YouTube and your various legal
downloads. Yeah, didn't Jeffrey Edelson finance the clip?
Really?
Wasn't it Warwick in a pink suit or something?
There was a whole run of them. There was Jacko, I'm an Individual.
Yeah, that's right.
Jacko Jackson.
Yeah.
But I do remember the Kappa one vaguely.
Yeah.
If we can track it down.
All right. We'll do that. But we are up the mountain and we're talking what, Ed?
We're talking about the things that you wanted. Your mum wouldn't get it for you. What did you get instead?
G'day, Andrew. How are you?
Oh, g'day. How are you going?
Excellent, sir. What happened?
I don't know if you guys, you might be a bit young for this, but it was when War Games, the movie, came out.
Yeah, I certainly remember that. Matthew Broderick, director John Badham.
Well, I obviously wanted a computer and I asked my parents to buy me a Commodore 64.
Now, Andrew, was this in the time when there was all off tapes, the Commodore 64?
Yep. Okay. Bad tape decks.
And what'd you get?
I got a Dick Smith VZ 200. It didn't have, you know, computer keyboard. It had a keyboard, but it didn't have the buttons like you think. It had calculator buttons, little soft spongy ones.
I had the Dick Smith VZ200
as well. Did it have games?
Yeah, it had like a Frogger rip-off, didn't it?
Yeah, another. Oh, it was pretty lame.
There you go. And if you let the computer go at some point, if you typed in a magic code, sometimes the data would come up in the shape of Dick Smith's face.
I never got that far.
Okay. Well, I was pretty advanced on the Dick Smith VZ200.
Amazing. We have got a kind of a Batman theme today, and I don't know, you've been watching Batman on the TV.
Every morning.
Have you been seeing the back computer yet?
Well, pretty much, as far as I can see that it works, walk up to it, it looks like a Christmas tree, you push one of the lights, and it solves the crime for you.
And you know that it's the back computer because the big sign. Nicely painted by a sign writer. Bat computer.
You
have to down there. Who's confused about that,
Alfred?
Do you think he ever forgets his password? Told me to do that.
What was that degree?
All right.
Hello.
Slunk. Someone got thrown into a wall the other day and they said, Slunk. What are you talking about? What are you talking about, Robin? Hello, Donna. How are you?
I'm
ooh, what happened to you, Donna?
Well, my sister was given a leotard, and I wanted one too, and I had to make do with giving a faded over top.
And where did you wear this stuff?
Just around the house. I've got a photo of me wearing my faded and skivvy and my moccasins.
Well, 21st speech writes itself.
I think that's obviously going to have to pop up on our website at some point.
TripleM.com.au. Send it in, Donna. Thank you very much.
Beautiful. Who's had something else made for them?
Hello, Terry. How are you?
How you going?
Good, mate. What happened?
Mate, Starsky and Hutch. I used to like Starsky with that nice woolen jacket.
It was kind of, was it a cardigan or was it a jacket? It had a kind of belt.
It was a long cardigan that they had sort of down past your bum. Anyway, Mum and Dad couldn't afford one, so Nana knitted me one. More in the house, that was about it.
Yeah,
you can go outside. You can go outside, mate.
Were there bullies just waiting outside your door? Just
waiting, mate. Waiting for me to step out.
So you were never able to hook up with a Hutch?
No.
Or indeed a Huggy Bear?
No, nothing, mate.
All right, well.
Terry,
we appeal. All want a Starsky jacket. Who's next?
Hello, Sarah.
Hello, how are you going, guys?
Excellent. What happened?
Well, look, my sister waited for ages for a cabbage patch. She finally got one, and it was named Lionel, but she wondered why it didn't have a doodle. So she asked my mum if she could make a little doodle and put on there. So mum did the tiniest little doodle out of a stocking and put a bit of Velcro on it so he could stick on there and it would look authentic. But the problem was it was parent-teacher day and she was at the school with the stockings on all dressed up and she looked down and this little doodle had become attached to her stocking.
King missile detachable penis work from your mother. Great work.
Well, I mean, obviously that's the service that she could have done for others. I mean, there's a lot of doodleless toys out there.
I mean, and you can pick your own type.
And I think also a milestone to get this as well, 7 uses of the word doodle.
Thank you very much.
Time for one more.
Jim, how are you?
Not too bad, thank you.
What happened, brother?
It would have been barely 4, and I wanted this He-Man figurine that when you hit it in the chest, it would spin around and you'd come off a bit worse for wear.
I had that. It was a little metal plate, and when you hit it, it spun around and it looked like you just sort of, like, stabbed in with something or another.
But Mum wouldn't come to the party on that, and my grandfather suggested, look, get him a tool kit, and he can spend some time with me in the tool shed.
Okay.
So I'm here laughing, but they got the tool kit for me, and I kind of took the saw into the lounge room and sawed the arm off the couch. lost the saw and didn't get the He-Man.
Yeah.
So it was a lose-lose situation.
Yeah,
man. The price was never the same again.
Quite He-Man-ish behaviour.
What was the thinking, Tim? Just going to hack something into pieces, or were you trying to make a doll out of the arm of the couch?
Well, I really don't know. I guess it just seemed like a good idea at the time. The saw was going through it pretty good, got on a roll, didn't want to stop.
Good on you, Tim.
Beautiful.
Well,
thank you, everyone. I didn't get a He-Man. I got the arm of the couch. But I noticed there, speaking of He-Man, have you seen this? Top 10 celebrities rated the most masculine
by
Britain Natural History Museum. No mention of Ed Cavalli. Who have you got in there? Brad Pitt? Yeah, maybe. Brilliant. David Beckham? Maybe.
Is he?
Kanye West, possibly.
Yeah.
Peter Andre.
Whoa.
The museum. The Natural History Museum has selected Peter Andre as one of the 10 blokiest men in the world.
Which bit of funky junkie exactly were they citing?
Well, we may get onto that in the next hour, but what a treat. You may be noticing that we're running almost the time for once here at Gazette. Doesn't happen very often. That's because he's back from Hollywood, and we want as much Hume time as possible in the next hour talking movies, just for once, with Lockie Hume.
It's really just a consistent pattern of picking on people who are easy to target.
TV series just being exposed for the
first time around. Now, there's a lot of fun.
It's amazing, but does the commissioner know that Bruce Wayne is Batman?
No.
Okay, so there's a bloke that he calls him every day and he only hears his voice.
Yeah.
That's Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And he meets Bruce Wayne pretty much every episode when Bruce has some swanky fudge.
Ooh.
Swirling at his house. And he sees him and he speaks in the same voice.
And he doesn't get it.
Yeah.
Now, is that what I'm meant to believe?
Yes, you are. And you've also got to understand that for this type of TV show, Commissioner Gordon is not very bright.
No.
Work on that. And it's not just Bruce Wayne he's talking to. He's got his sidekick Dick Grayson and Batman and Robin in the office and he's still coming.
Now, hang on a second. Why? What's a youthful ward? As far as I can tell, Bruce has just gone, you're 18. Do I come there with me?
Well, you know what's even creepier? In the comic book, Dick Grayson's actually 13.
Well, come on. Let's not.
It said to me this morning, how stupid is that, Harry?
Oh, yes. Well, you know why they introduced the character of Aunt Harriet?
What?
Because in the 50s, the psychologist, Dr. Wertham, wrote this report saying comic books are corrupt in the youth of America.
Right.
And he centered his attack on Batman, which he said, Bruce Wayne, Dick Grayson, and Alfred the Butler living in a big mansion with nice flowers on the mantelpiece. So
the writers thought, oh, Christ, we've got to put a woman in the mix, so they came up with Aunt Harriet.
Aunt Harriet is constantly being, tricked. By Bruce Wayne, who's having to run out. He's not going to be there that night.
The rare spotted warbler only seen at this time of the year in the middle of the night. Dick and I won't be back for dinner.
Oh, okay, that's fun, Bruce. As they run towards an opening bookshop.
Yeah.
Look, we're so off the subject. We're talking movies, not TV. We like to do the movies.
Although, speaking of TV, who was the guy you had on, not yesterday, you had Tommy G on?
Andrew Ackerman.
Right, you've got to have this guy.
He was great.
I'll come in and do your movie shows, which is essentially just a bit of piss part around.
Yes.
But this guy actually knows what he's talking about.
That's right.
And one show that didn't come up was Holiday Island.
Yeah, that was
it. Didn't come up because the Holiday Island, the Channel 10 sort of auctioned, it tanked after a few weeks.
That's
and
right.
Set became the backdrop to Lassiter's in Neighbours.
Oh, wow. Aren't we learning a lot?
Yeah.
And I think John Blackman from, of course, our Adelaide Breakfast Program, drunken fool for that series.
Is this the only bit of acting he's ever done?
All right. We're tackling the big one. The Dave.
get this? Oh, you clearly don't know what we'll play next. Here, get this. That's The Vapors here on Triple M. Our guest today, he's back from Hollywood. He's been to a lot of meetings with a lot of heavy hitters.
I wasn't there. I don't know what was discussed. I can only say, though, that I have always found in my dealings with him to be an honest and forthright man. He's an ambitious man. There's nothing wrong with ambition.
Okay, thank you.
Prime Minister.
You've been in New York and you've been in Hollywood. Now, I guess a lot of people in this country would get their ideas about Hollywood from the show Entourage.
That's taken off
big time on DVD and Foxtel. Is it accurate?
Well, it is to a certain degree, but let's just talk specifically about Entourage for a minute, because I think the show's gone down here.
Really? I'm curious from a lot of people, but is it true?
Well, it is, because except a couple of weeks ago, you did have Sophie Monk get a gear off.
We T-voted that and repeated it.
I actually met Sophie years ago when she was, what was the band she was with?
I did
a film a few years ago called Let's Get Skates, and we shot that out in Perth. And there are three people out there who've seen the film. You might remember that there is a big dance sequence that happens in the movie where my character and Demetri Arty's character get worked into this big dance thing. And so the Bardo girls had heard this sequence was going to be shot. So Matt George, the director, and I had to go meet all the girls for breakfast.
Matt had to go, but I said,
I'm coming along with you. And so we went along and we had to explain to them, because they wanted to be the dancers in the scene. So they said, well, what's the movie about? So we started explaining what the movie is. And I said, well, you know, it's based loosely on the true story of the kidnap attempt on Christopher Skate. And they were all sitting there nodding. You just knew that. No idea what we were talking about. And I said, and for those of you who don't know, Skate was alive at the time when we shot the film. I said, Skate, he stole over $1 billion from his investors and went to an island called Mallorca. And there was a pause, and Sophie goes, what's a Mallorca?
Brilliant. You're in.
And
I just want to do a sidebar history on that movie.
But just because the sad part was, there were no other girls in the band to explain that to us. Oh, it's an island.
Anyway, it's an island. Okay.
I just want to quickly ask something about that film, Let's Get Skates. I remember when that was in production, everyone's going, who are they going to get to play Skates? And then everyone went, surely. Tim Friedman.
Right, and we met Tim Friedman about it. We actually went,
really?
Of course we went to Tim first, because what a coup that would be to get Tim Friedman playing. And he really thought about it for a while.
And then
Matty George did sort of basically an open casting for each, Skate lookalike show up. And this guy, Wayne Castle, shows up, and he's just a dead winner for Skate. So when Wayne came out to Perth, because he's only got like two scenes in the whole film, because it's about the guys who tried to kidnap him, it's not about Skate. But Wayne hadn't read the script of it, he was actually a limo driver. And if you're listening, Wayne, g'day. And I'll be going to the airport next Monday if you're about to. And he was standing around very pompous and fierce outside wardrobe when he would go in, because he thought the whole film was about him. And I walked up to him and I said, oh, hi, Wayne, I'm Lucky here, and I'm playing D'Alessandro, the kidnapper. And he was like, yes, good to meet you. I've been waiting for this call my whole life. And I took that George's card and I said, does he understand that he's A, it's only two scenes, and he hasn't got any dialogue? And that George looked at me and goes, no, we told him it was a lead. Don't tell him any difference.
Well, that's the thing. When you are a lookalike for someone, I know we're getting a lot of calls at the moment about, Ed Cavalli for the Milky story. Because I think Milky,
or
the story of Freddie, mate, is all the
that is your lookalike.
Look, but is Milky doing one of the Quizmanias or the Mentors?
No, nothing like Quizmania. It's entirely different. What it is, Lockie, if you haven't been here for a while, Quizmania was when you called in to answer questions late at night on television and you would win prizes.
Yeah, I've seen it on Channel 9.
Yeah, now, hang on. Bear with me.
It's one of the Ian McGuire's last brilliant programming.
But stay with me. The Mint is late night television. You call in and answer questions and win prizes.
Cool.
With Milky.
Oh, can you see the difference there?
It's like a new show.
Well, oh, man.
I thought my career was in the toilet.
What?
Well, a lot of people think that is you.
I have never.
Me or you?
No, not you. Gavlehead.
I don't look anything like him.
You do. There's this hinge Millsy.
You've got licks. Millsy looks like a Jack the Ripper victim across the mouth.
Now, how many people has he libeled so far? You keep him down.
Yes. So good.
That limo driver cop to pay.
Millsy's got one.
They're all truth, all truth. You can't prove malice. I've had my lawyers look into this. If you can't prove malice, there's no libel. No,
plenty
more coming.
Plenty more malice to come. Here at Get This. Thank you, Green Day, working class hero. Here at Get This.
Yeah, I mean, I've got to make a comment about this. Look,
here we go.
When I started on this show, when you guys started a year ago, it's now a long format, and you guys used to take incredible pride in your sneaky way of whittling out the amount of music that needed to be played. Now, you guys got it down to a fine art. I think in my last show on the hour format, it was like two songs.
Now,
it's interrupting the flow.
It was two.
What's going on with all this music?
Two actual songs and then three from Ed Cavalier.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. We've been to the negotiation table as long as they five an hour.
You obviously didn't have me in the room, buddy, because their chairs would have been thrown.
Okay, I think it was in the room. Ed Cavalier, did you see him last night on Think
of?
He doesn't like to draw attention to his work, and I understand that.
I love you, but I have been YouTubing you, but thank God you're here, and you.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody else who goes on the show. I'm just waiting for Mark Lando Calrissian.
He's got a defensive face, though.
It's got the kind of face that only a person picking out a serial killer on the island.
He looks
so nondescript and just such a quiet man.
There is something missing from this series of Thank God You're Here. It's just lacking a bit of...
He's
in Hollywood himself.
I need his email because I've actually never met Goosey.
He
strikes me as the kind of guy that I could pick on him.
What an invitation. Who are you living with?
Okay, because he'll be listening in LA. Big cheerio to John Moore. Now, John is the manager who represents Halle Berry and people like that.
One degree from Halle Berry.
But you, Tone, in the break, were saying, have I seen any celebrities?
Yes, well, when Goosey comes on, he's just a name dropper. Yeah. But they're never top shelf names.
Well, I've got a couple of good ones. Okay, because where we live in we're in Hollywood. Our apartment is at the base of Runyon Canyon, which is the famous recreational park, which was immortalised in Entourage, where Turtle and Johnny Drama go there to try and pick up chicks.
Right.
So you have this parade of gorgeous women going up and down. Like, you know the girls next door, the Hugh Hefner thing?
We see them
up and down the street all the time.
Yeah.
But in a three-day period, on the Monday, I got Mr. Big, Chris Knott, from the city.
Fantastic.
Next day, Vince Vaughn, on the park.
Yeah.
Third day, Bruce Willis.
That's a threeper.
Yeah. Any sign of Lou Ferrigno?
I met Lou Ferrigno.
Really?
I met him a couple of years ago. He was Sam Worthington and I went down to the Staples Center, the Comic Con.
Yeah.
And we had a wander about, and they have these sort of celebrities sitting there signing autographs.
You
have to pay $5 and you get a photo signed by them. And there were good people. The Margot Kidder was there. Going out 5 miles around the block.
Right,
I was flying his autograph, and the whole blue the red man was sitting there.
The TV Hulk.
Not one person
Showing
up. And it reminded me of Alex Mitriades, who does a killer impression of Lou Ferrigno.
He's got no arms, Lou. Just beat him.
I'm sick of people doing impressions of Lou Ferrigno.
Is that 10 names dropped? Have we dropped 10 names in less than 2 minutes?
I think it was around there. We had 10, because Sam Worthington counts, I think.
Yeah, Wurtho does count.
I think you've broken Goodie's record. Congratulations.
He's
asleep at the switch again.
Just one more lucky to get over to Dan. Come on, lucky.
You must have seen somebody.
I deserve it for that.
Give us one more. You must have hurled abuse at someone.
I saw Lily Sobieski.
Fantastic. I know that who is this agent guy you've told me about who sounds very entourage, who had all the weird gear in his freezer?
Oh, okay. Well, this is just to fill everybody at home in. When Tone and I were doing work cameras, he was asking me about weird
Hollywood stories, and I don't have a lot of celebrity stories. I've got a lot of weird stories of people I've met. And this guy's name is Mickey, and he used to be my manager's assistant, and then he got promoted to manager. You get sponsored for the accreditation, and that lasted 6 weeks before they fired him. And so he rang Matty George, the director, who also knows him, and was like, "Oh, hey, this is the way to speak to it." "Hey, dude, how are you?" And this was the phone message to Matt. "I don't know whether you heard or not. Yeah, left the company, parted ways. But that's all cool. Got my first gig this morning. I've just signed on as a producer at a new company. Got $250,000 in discretionary funds. And so basically, you're talking to a really happy bastard right now." And so there's your parlay. Mickey, anyway, I caught up with him. I hadn't seen any news. Well, Matty George was there too, so Matt and I went down to Echo Park to meet him for a drink. And he was hammered. Absolutely hammered. And I looked at him, I said, "Mickey, you're right." He goes, "Oh, dude. Oh, last night we got these hot chicks over to my place, got a game of strip poker going, got them down to their pink little panties. Oh, dude." And I said, "Oh, well, you're looking a little worse for wear just for a game of strip poker." He goes, "Oh, well, that's because I've been in Ibiza partying for 2 weeks, dude." Now, he was obsessed when he first got his first credit as a producer on this low budget film of having his name listed on IMDb. Because, dude, this affects your whole career. Do you know how many people look at the IMDb every day? So he was obsessed with getting his name on the IMDb, but his name never appeared. So he tracked down the phone number of the guy who was responsible for putting the credit up on IMDb and rang him at home. And demanded, he was threatened a lawsuit unless my name gets up on IMDb.
But you only have to have your name in the credits of the film.
I know, but for some reason he's...
"Thank you."
Well, I think they put him up as Michael .. as opposed to Mickey.
Oh, okay. Well,
was, I think that's where the confusion was. But anyway, he went off to Ibiza. He was coming back through, this is 2 weeks ago, just after the problems of Heathrow, where Gold driving cut through the
walls. Sure.
And Mickey's wearing his big beard now, and he... This is his version of events. We personally believe he got pinched for drugs, but this is his version of events. He said, "Oh, dude, I was so hammered, I passed out of my gutter out the front of the car." And so then he has to rush for his plane. "I didn't have a belt, my pants fell down as I was rushing for the plane." He gets on the plane, claims he put his feet up on the wall. He had one of the bulkhead seats. He put his feet up on the wall in front of him, rested his head in his hand because he was so exhausted from 2 weeks of non-stop partying. And his version of events is that someone thought he was some Al-Qaeda terrorist praying, just leaning
on the seat in front of you.
Yeah, praying. And so this is his story. The plane gets stopped. He gets yanked off, taken into security at Heathrow. Says, "Dude, don't you know who I am?"
I'm nearly on the IMDb.
But his name was up there by then, and it's the guy that did the full body cavity search, the whole thing. And he's like, "Dude, I'm here to produce one of your national treasures." He's got this rights to this famous English book, he reckons. And so he reckons he got out of terrorist charges because, yes, they did look him up on the IMDb.
And now, just quickly, what were the only two items this man had in his freezer?
Okay, one night I went over to his place and the store was closed, and I said, "Nick, look, I chose to go back to my hotel. I want room service to look up. Have you got the thing that we can pinch a bottle?" He says, "Oh, dude, seriously, yeah, just check out what's in the freezer." So I opened the freezer section of his fridge. It is just jam-crammed full of vodka bottles. There would have been like 15 of them in there. Wow. With like the freezer frost all the cake. And then the little pockets in between were microwave burritos that just stuck in there. And I pried this bottle of vodka out. And he was standing at the door sort of holding his stomach. And I said, "Nick, you're right. You want to come back to the hotel for a drink?" And he goes, "Oh, no, dude, you guys go. I've got some serious farting to do."
Well, he's a contact man. There you go. That is what it's like in the trenches.
Yeah, that's Hollywood.
Lockie, we need to get the listeners on board, and they're looking for advice.
Yeah.
I've got an email here. Date movies. Date movies. Next, I'll get this. The line on the dance floor. You're listening to Get This on Triple M Around the Nation.
Oh, yeah,
sorry, from our listeners with their bike.
When that red light goes on,
the listening audience.
Roy has emailed in. He is 18 years old, and he's from Bunyip in Victoria. He says, "Hi guys, I've come to a dilemma. I need your help. I'm going on a date with a woman. Yes, a woman. And I'm not sure which movie to take her to see or which DVD to rent. Here are my short list so far."
Shortlist.
Shortlist headed by The Bus.
Yeah.
Short Bus. Yeah. Come on.
Now, see, Ed reckons this is the date movie. None of our listeners agree.
Okay, I went on a first date with the blokes in the trench coats. Action.
So it's the kind of film that's an instructional for having a date by yourself.
Yeah, pretty much. I think that's a poor one. Let's see.
Meatballs 4.
Meatballs for other ladies going to be into shower blocks falling down for no reason.
And quite frankly, listen, Dane, if you're listening, if you're going to do sort of summer camp type stuff, you can't go past Whitewater Summer. You can't go past Whitewater Summer with Kevin Bacon.
The first of many rafting movies Kevin Bacon made.
River Wild.
Bikini Bandits. The Thief and the Stripper, My Life as a Troll. As you can probably know...
What do you see if you're going out with a woman? Is this the woman he's bought and paid for the hour?
I don't know. These are good ideas.
Add Dane Roy to the list of libelous comments made by Lovey Hugh. Yep. With 18-year-old boys copying it.
Well, I mean, if he's after sort of gropey things, why doesn't he get Titanic? Because it's got a kiss in the title.
Good idea. All right. We need some sensible suggestions.
So what we're looking for here is good date movies.
Yeah.
Or... let's dovetail this, Tony Martin, Lucky Hugh, Richard Bardsland, with movies. Once you've got them in the boat, so to speak, we'll guarantee some answers.
Oh, God.
Well, you can't go past the scary film.
Oh, really?
You know what? I just bought a movie.
What?
The Change One.
Oh, The Change One with George C. Scott.
Huge Band of Ear, directed by Peter Medak. This, for anyone who has not seen this film, people always talk about The Exorcist, people talk about The Shining, so on and so forth. The Change One. 1980 Peter Medak film is one of the most terrifying movies ever made. It's a haunted house film.
Is it scarier than The Prince of Tides?
Well, it depends on your perspective, Ed, but I would suggest to you, Dave, if you want to have this girl curled up on the couch next to you, gripping you, the chain plane, mate. It's an absolute foolproof.
All right, frightening them into the boat.
Frightening
one possibility. What's the traditional approach to chick flick?
Yeah.
Which are the ones you can sit through? I can sit through Say Anything with John Cusack.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I like Before Sunrise and Before Sunset.
I like those. Yeah.
Sort of a dark sunset.
Yeah, no.
Isn't it
Before Sunrise, Before Sunset?
I thought it was After Sunset.
Maybe it was Half Past Dead.
I thought it was From Dusk Till Dawn.
Them 2-1 with Julie Delpy and Ethan Hawke. What are the other chick flicks you guys can make it through? High Fidelity is a good one.
Yeah, I guess it is
a bloke's movie, but it's a chick's movie in the sky.
Correct.
No, absolutely it is.
Right.
Would you say As Good As It Gets with Jack Nicholson is a chick flick?
Yeah, it is, because there's a lot of love.
Come on, you've got a little dog, you've got a gay next door neighbour, and you've got a chick flick.
Okay,
that's got to qualify as a chick flick.
The Mirror Has Two Faces?
No.
Which one? Speaking of which, The Mirror Has Two Faces, that's the best title for a James Bond film. What a call would that be for a Bond film? James Bond in The Mirror Has Two Faces.
Yeah, you could have the long Barbara Streisand fingernail.
Oh,
fantastic. The Mirror Has to Vomit, I think, is the actual name of that film. What's, okay, chick flick.
Nicky's just written down the notebook.
How long is he's pregnant? You know what I'm saying?
Pregnant, Nick.
Shit.
I try not to cop a look at your body.
While you're over there, Nicky's been hitting the piece a fair bit. Okay.
Oh, no, I didn't know. Good on you, darling. Let's find something. Well, anyway, back to movies.
What's The Notebook? Okay, The Notebook, Ed pointed out, is the number one film on my face for blokes trying to look sensitive.
It is.
Let's say that's Ryan Gosling.
Is in it. Good actor. There you go. Okay, chick flicks. Any sort of date suggestion movies from you, Mr. Marvel?
Well, as I said, High Fidelity, but also Swingers is a good film.
Yeah. No, come on, Rich. That's a documentary for single guys.
But that's the beauty of it, is that he sort of learns his lesson and women end up enjoying it.
Yeah, but that's the last 10 minutes of the film, mate.
The worst bit. How about Big Fish?
Not Little Fish with Kate Blanchett, you mean the Big Fish with Billy Crudup.
Yeah.
The sequel, Big Fish.
I have to say, my wife walked out of that film.
Wasn't impressed.
I think Spalding Gray walked out on it as well.
Can we get,
that's very true.
Mate, you're clearly way off. Bikini Bandits, don't you? The Thief and the Stripper. My Life as a Troll.
It's time to get the listeners on board. They don't know what to do.
Let's have a song and call us up with your date movie ideas. 133353. Did that count as a song?
I think it did.
I don't think the music department are giving it the thumbs up. Something else. Back in a moment. 133353. Thank you, you two. Let's get this. I haven't seen it maybe since it came out. How is it aging, Ed? Have you had a look recently?
Well, I saw it for the first time earlier this year.
Wow, and really? I loved it.
I sat down and watched it with my three daughters and my wife last week on DVD. I actually enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. What was your favourite bit, mate?
Too many to list, mate.
Mm-hmm. I hear that. All right. Dirty Dancing, Footloose. You know, we're going down that path.
Yeah.
Let's try a different path, Ed. Who have we got? Alex, how are you?
Good, boys. How are you going?
Excellent. What have you got for us?
Well, you can forget about all the movies you've heard. Mm-hmm. This is the winner. Love Actually.
Yeah. How did it go for you? I mean, are you saying this was a successful date movie?
Oh, it's worked a couple of times.
Hey.
Yeah, whenever I've got a date coming over, mm-hmm. I somehow manage to position it so it looks like it's at the top of the DVD pile.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, do you watch this? I go, well, haven't you seen it?
Right, and what happens?
2 hours later, you're in the pretzel position.
Oh, good to know.
Okay.
I have to say I'm not a fan of that film, but I don't want to upset anyone.
No.
What's that thing they do at the airport? It's like British Telecom bringing people together. Yeah. Hugh Grant is the Prime Minister. Does he have any help at all? There's nobody at all. He's wandering around the streets on his own.
As Tony said, he didn't want to spoil it for anybody.
Yeah.
So, when you pick accurate holes in movies.
Okay, no, a lot of people like it. I don't want to cause trouble. Let's keep the love coming. Who's next?
Fiona, yeah, how are you?
Hi, good.
What have you got for us?
Chocolat. Oh. How would you explain Chocolat to anyone who hasn't seen it?
Hasn't seen it.
Johnny Depp, isn't it?
Johnny Depp's hot.
And chocolates are in it?
Sorry?
It's got chocolates in it as well?
Yeah, it's got chocolates. It's about a chocolate shop that opened in a little village in France. And the local Christian people are not approving of it because it's during Lent.
Right. I like Footloose with chocolates, yeah, really.
And Fiona, it's lovely. It's, have you ever used chocolat to seduce a young woman friend?
No. I don't need
the movies.
I'm fine, thanks.
But if anyone needs some advice, Chocolat's what you're recommending.
Good on you, Fiona.
It's romantic. Johnny Depp comes along and there's a pirate and he falls in love with the store owner of the chocolate shop.
The ladies love the Depp.
Thank you very much.
Who's going next?
Hello there, Mark. Mark, are you there?
Hey, how you going?
Hey, good. How are you, sir? What have you got for us?
City of Angels.
Oh. He was directed by Brad Gilbert.
Oh, you're right.
The director of Casper the Friendly Ghost. Now, this is the one where an angel becomes a person, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the one, mate. The best part of it's the tagline. She didn't believe in angels until she fell in love with one.
That's right. Now, Mark, it's City of Angels that we have to blame for the Goo Goo Dolls, is it not?
Yeah, the Irish song, yeah. It's popped out a few since then and it's all been downhill.
Absolutely.
So with Nicolas Cage, too. All his movies have gone pretty much downhill. National Treasure and, I don't know, the other crappy stuff.
Yeah, but don't worry, because every time you don't like a Nicolas Cage film, there'll be a new one coming out next week.
National Treasure 2, I just saw the short film.
Which actually looks pretty good, actually.
You're right, Lockie, that City of Angels was a remake of the German film
Wings of Desire.
And everyone laughed when they gave that remake to the director of Casper the Friendly Ghost. But when you think about it, same storyline.
Absolutely, really.
It is. It's a ghost that wants to be real.
Not bad.
Sorry, Nick.
Andrew, how are you?
G'day, how you going?
Excellent, mate. Your date movie?
Shooting Fish.
Dan Solomon of Birdcage fame, who later went on to produce the podium.
Is that right, Andrew?
It is. I wasn't aware of the other reference. I could only remember him as the least annoying guy from the Birdcage.
Yeah. How can you... So you're saying this is a successful date movie? Worked for you?
It's a belter.
Really?
Actually, you could probably put it that way.
And what's so good about Shooting Fish?
It's a very nice movie. It's very watchable for a bike spot of view, but it seems to have the desired effect.
It came out of that train spotting period where Hollywood went, England is hot. Yeah. They started sinking lots of money into English films, but they had to have an American in them to secure the distribution, I guess.
Oh, well, yeah. Good that you're here, Mr. Martin.
Thank you very much, Andrew. Great suggestions from everybody. I hope everyone's written those down.
Thank you very much.
Try them out and get back to us.
Crazy.
But what about music? Yes, you're saying we have too much music.
I do.
On the show.
I do say so.
You won't be saying that next on Get This.
I put together, finally, by popular demand, the Barjas Olden Days.
I heard on the radio, I'm so thrilled. This has been, how long have they been making this band?
10 years. We've been trying to get it out. Sadly, Lucky Grills passed away.
Yes, I heard.
So we have before the finish line. So we don't have any to give away. This is the ABC are organising it. Well, I've done the whole thing. Every interview I've done about it, the people who are interviewing me have no idea what it is. They haven't been sent a copy.
Mm.
We're meant to give away a whole lot of copies on the show. The ABC can't even send some in here for us to give away.
What if they probably can't afford the shipping and handling?
ABC marketing have failed to master the arse elbow equation. Is that in a brewery? No idea what you're talking about.
What if I told you, Tony? Until you bring up something that's going to sell oven mitts, they don't want to know about it.
So they are hopeless, but I don't want their incompetence and uselessness to reflect on the quality of the product, which is very good and apparently is in the shops now. We wouldn't know.
Tone, I can see that my presence here is a little fire.
I spent like my whole 2 weeks holiday working on this thing for free.
I know, Tone.
And they can't even get copies to review it.
I know, Tone.
Hopefully. Anyway, enough of that. I'm going to calm down.
What about music?
Well, yeah, it's 130 years since the first sound was recorded. Did you know that, Lockie?
No, I didn't, mate. What was that first sound?
Well, the first song. I couldn't find the first sound, but I found in the archives here at Triple M the first song ever recorded.
Wow.
I think the artist is Les Welk and his 9 persons of interest. It's a traditional Cockney knees up. Check it out.
Oh, I've got something to tell you, and I'm really going to tell you. Yes, it's obvious, I've got some news for you. Got to put some wheels in motion, got to travel across the ocean, so get ready, because this plane we're coming through. Hey now, here's what to say now, happiness is just around the bend. Hey now, here's what to say now, we'll be there for you, because the Venga bus is coming, yeah, and everybody's running, yeah, from New York up to San Francisco. The Venga bus is coming, yeah, and everybody's running, yeah, it's an intercity disco. The wheels of steel are turning, the traffic lights are burning, so if you like to party, you don't want to move your body. The Venga bus is coming and it's what we like to do. Yes, everybody.
Welcome back and thanks for sitting in for the whole hour.
Thanks, guys.
Love it. And congratulations on the review. That your film had been in any of the space. I'm in a rave in the New York Times.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely the best review for that film.
It was like we had a rave in the Times.
Well, so we're all on our
time. Well done, all. And thanks to everyone who called in and emailed today. Great stuff, great callers, great contributors. Our key phrase today.
Okay, what was it? Dude, I got serious farting.
Cast iron, the one of them.